Why is health insurance so expensive? This is such a big question that I feel like a lot of people have. It affects everyone, but especially those who are struggling financially or trying to make sense of how the system works.
Exactly. These are the kinds of questions that come up when someone's facing real concerns, whether it's trying to afford coverage or just trying to figure out why the system feels so complicated.
I think that's why these topics are so important to talk about. Health insurance touches almost everyone's life. But understanding it and navigating the system can feel overwhelming, especially when the costs are so high.
Totally. During our research, I was surprised to learn about all the factors driving up the costs of health insurance. It's not just the monthly premiums, it's the deductibles, the copays, the cost of medical procedures, and even how insurance companies calculate their risks.
Yeah, the research really put things into perspective. For example, one reason health insurance is so expensive is adverse selection. That's when sicker individuals are more likely to buy insurance, which drives up costs for everyone.
And don't forget rising medical costs. That's a big one. The more expensive it is for hospitals and doctors to provide care, the more expensive insurance becomes. Plus, companies are required to cover more people now, which adds to the overall expense.
That makes sense. But what about solutions? Did you come across any ideas for making insurance more affordable?
Yes, there are several potential solutions. One is the public option, affordable government insurance for those who can't afford private plans. Another is universal healthcare, which is fully funded by the government. Then there's price transparency, where hospitals and clinics clearly list service costs so people can make informed decisions. And tax-free medical savings accounts, or HSAs, can help people save for medical expenses.
I like the idea of universal healthcare. But I know it's controversial in the U.S. because it would require a lot of government funding and system restructuring.
True, but even small changes like more price transparency could help people understand what they're paying for and potentially save money.
Okay, so now on to another question. Why do some clinics only accept certain types of insurance? This one comes up a lot, and I think people don't realize how complicated it is for clinics to work with multiple insurance companies.
Right. Each insurance company has its own set of rules for paying claims, which can be time-consuming and complicated for clinics to manage. So a lot of clinics stick to a smaller number of insurance providers to save time and avoid the headache of all that extra paperwork.
That makes sense. I also learned that clinics and doctors often sign contracts with specific insurance providers, like Blue Cross and Blue Shield, because these contracts guarantee a certain level of payment for services.
That's true. It's about financial stability for the clinics. If they know they'll get paid a fair amount from a specific insurer, they're more likely to stick with that company. But the downside is that it can leave patients with fewer options if their insurance isn't accepted.
And don't forget the financial stress clinics face when treating uninsured patients. Almost 50 million Americans lacked insurance at one point, and many more had minimal coverage. Clinics have to prioritize contracts with insurers that offer better reimbursement rates to stay afloat.
Exactly. Before researching this, I thought clinics didn't accept certain insurances because they just didn't want to. But now I realize it's more about reducing financial risk and managing their workload.
And that ties into another question. Why isn't health insurance available to everyone, especially low-income individuals?
I used to think health insurance wasn't available to everyone because some clinics or hospitals wouldn't accept it. But the reality is more complicated. For low-income individuals, there are government-assisted options, like Medicaid or facilities like public hospitals.
Right, like Parkland Hospital. They provide care for people with low incomes, homelessness, or no insurance. But there are barriers, like needing proof of income, an address, or a bank account to qualify. Still, they don't turn anyone away, which is a relief.
That's a good point, but it's also important to note that not everyone qualifies for these programs. Government subsidies, for example, are only available to people under certain income thresholds, and even then, they don't always cover all medical expenses.
I've noticed this is a big issue for students, too. Some stay on their parents' plans, but those plans might not cover them fully if they're studying out of state or abroad.
And even student-specific plans can be limited. They often exclude certain treatments, like mental health care or specialized services.
I think part of the problem is that we tend to assume cheaper insurance will solve everything. But that doesn't address the high cost of medical care itself or the risks insurers face when taking on more patients.
Exactly. And the truth is, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. For now, people with limited options can turn to public hospitals or government programs, but those systems aren't perfect either.
Jocelyn, what's clear is that this issue affects so many people in different ways, whether it's students, low-income families, or even clinics trying to stay afloat. Something we need to keep talking about and working toward improving.
Agreed. Understanding these issues is the first step toward finding better solutions. Let's keep exploring this in our podcast and help more people make sense of it all.
So after looking at all these issues, I think the solutions we talked about could really make a difference.
Definitely. It seems like the key is a combination of approaches, like making insurance more affordable through public options or universal healthcare, and improving transparency so people understand what they're paying for.
And clinics could benefit too if we simplify insurance systems and ensure fair reimbursement rates. That way, they might be able to accept more types of insurance and help more people.
Right. For low-income individuals, expanding Medicaid, increasing subsidies, and supporting public hospitals could go a long way in making healthcare more accessible.
And for students, fixing gaps in coverage, whether it's through better parent plans or more inclusive student health insurance, would really help.
It's clear that no single solution will fix everything. But by combining these strategies, we can start to build a system that works better for everyone.
Exactly. The important thing is to keep these conversations going and push for changes that make healthcare more fair and accessible.